It's the sound of bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. Friday reportedly marks the inauguration of regular service by the Concordski. I'm Jerry Landay, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Concordski is the Western nickname for the Tupolev 144, the Soviet supersonic transport, a pun on the Anglo-French rival, the Concorde. But two question marks follow the Concordski into the air from Moscow's Domodedovo Airport: its reliability and its noise. The Soviet supersonic jet won't be ferrying people on its inaugural runs, but mail and freight between Moscow and Alma-Ata in Soviet Central Asia. Officials say it's because of some unresolved questions about the plane. A prototype of the Russian SST crashed at the Paris Air Show in 1973, killing 14. The Soviets reportedly intend to subject the new model to rigorous flight testing to spare further embarrassment and fatalities. And there's the question of the objectionable noise factor raised by officials in New York and Washington. The Soviets say they want to monitor the Tupolev's noise level under actual flying conditions. Target date for passengers, mid-1976. More CBS News after this.
Hi, football fans. Win Elliott of CBS Radio Network Sports here. Plenty happening in postseason pro and college football over most of these CBS Radio Network stations. New Year's Day, the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Georgia and Arkansas. Connie Alexander and Tommy Hendrick will bring you the action. Sunday, January 4th, the NFC Championship, Jim Kelly and Don Klein. Then I'll be around the weekend of January 17th and 18th to bring you 28 special sports broadcasts, all leading up to that extravaganza, the Super Bowl number 10. For the game itself, Jim Kelly and Ed Ingalls will be there in Miami. Exclusive radio coverage. See, you don't need television to get the picture. So here it is in a nutshell. CBS Radio, Cotton Bowl, New Year's Day, NFC Championship, Sunday, January 4th, and then my special 28 broadcast, 17th and 18th, leading to Super Bowl 10. You listen for the best in postseason football over most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
In keeping with the spirit of the season, a call from the Communist Party of Argentina Thursday night to political adversaries on both the right and left. The Moscow Line Party appealing for an end to the bloodbath in Argentina. The party statement warning that continuing political turbulence in that country could easily spill over into a terrible civil war. The communist appeal follows an abortive revolt by right-wing Air Force officers against President Isabel Perón and a series of coordinated strikes by left-wing guerrillas in which 100 died. The people should determine Argentina's political future in next October's election, says the Communist Party, and not extremists of the left or the right. Another American's been kidnapped by Eritrean guerrillas in Ethiopia, the fifth in as many months. Like two of the others, the latest captive, Ronald Michalki of Mabel, Minnesota, was an employee of the Collins International Service Company. Collins reportedly installs communications equipment for the U.S. government. All the captives have been reported in good physical shape. Their abductors, members of the Eritrean Liberation Front, are struggling for secession from the Ethiopian regime in Addis Ababa. The leader of the pro-Palestinian band, which raided OPEC headquarters in Vienna last Sunday, is quoted as saying he has other professional commandos at his disposal, ready to repeat the operation anywhere in the world. An Iranian newspaper quotes the guerrilla leader as claiming that he will be the ultimate liberator of the Holy Land. The leader's identified himself as Carlos, a notorious professional terrorist wanted by the police of several countries. Some European police question whether he is indeed the much-wanted Carlos. Greek police say they have no hard leads to follow so far in Tuesday's murder of a senior CIA official in Athens. Egyptian newspapers report that the government of Syria has ordered the arrest of the leader of the Syrian Communist Party and 300 members. One Cairo paper suggests that the move means President Assad of Syria, like President Sadat before him, has decided to end close connections with Moscow and improve relations with the United States. Other observers suggest the move may simply be a temporary gesture by Assad to his present guest, King Khalid of Saudi Arabia, a strong anti-communist. Now this.
We've got to save the children and save the world. Help them to grow, to know that life is worth living.
world, there are children who don't know that life is worth living. How could they? They live on the edge of disaster, sick, hungry, illiterate, never knowing what tomorrow will bring, or if there'll be a tomorrow. If we can help save these children, we can help save the world. They are our future, these children of the world. You can help give them real hope. Please send for information on how to help. Write Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017.
We've got to save the children and save the world. Help them to grow to know that love.
Millions of low-paid workers are due for a raise the first of the year. Under the amended minimum wage law, nearly 4 million will be eligible for immediate pay hikes to $2.30 an hour. The law covers more than 57 million workers, but most already earn more than the new $2.30 minimum. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News. CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents Come In. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome. Doubly welcome this special eve, of course. If you look in Webster's dictionary under the word miracle, you can read the definition, an event or effect contrary to the established order of things. A wonder or a wonderful thing. This is the story of a miracle that took place at Christmas time. The very best of all possible times for miracles. And it begins with an ad which has appeared for 10 years in the Dawson City Times and the Thomasville Courier.
We'll begin the advertisement with, if the owner of a Santa Claus suit rented to Jennifer Swallow will present his copy of the receipt to me, Jasper Crown, he will be
Oh, you'd have to include your address and your phone number, etc.
Of course, Jenny, we'll include that. He will be remunerated to whatever degree he asks, up to $1 million. Does that seem fair?
Oh, it isn't fair. It's silly. The rental was less than a dollar. Why should it be worth any more than that?
Maybe you'll never know, but I will. And everyone else who hears this story will know.
Mystery drama, A Very Private Miracle, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Howard Da Silva. It is sponsored in part by Luden's Medicated Cough Drops and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you say Budweiser, when you say Budweiser, you said a lot of things nobody else can say.
Choicest hops, rice, and best barley malt. The Budweiser ingredients listed proudly right there on the Budweiser label. There are less expensive ingredients, but you won't find them in Budweiser. No way. There's a lot more that goes into the brewing of Budweiser than just ingredients. But it's what comes out that counts most, and that's the Budweiser taste. And that speaks for itself, loud and clear. Hear it talking?
There is no other
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, use of the metric system as a uniform system of measurement in this country is growing rapidly. But of course, you want to know how it will affect you, right? Well, take driving your car, for example. The kilometer will replace the mile in expressing distances. Right now, 1 mile is equal to 1,760 yards or 5,280 feet. Now, isn't it easier to remember that 1 kilometer is equal to 1,000 meters? Your car's speedometer will also change from miles per hour to kilometers per hour. So will speed limit signs on the highways. And again, the standard unit of measure will be the meter. And so when you order a tank full of gas, the liquid measure will be in liters, not gallons. For example, a fill-up of 16 gallons is equal to 60 liters. For more information on the metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
This is a story of a very special time and a very special love affair between a bright and artless 10-year-old and a bitter, soured man who made himself old before his time. But however it ends, it begins with hate.
What was that, Arthur?
A rock through the window. That's an ugly mob outside.
Yeah, no goods, inadequates, ingrates.
Because you've taken their livelihood away from them.
My livelihood as well. I can't go on losing money with the mill. Since Robert walked out on me, I don't need any more.
But Thomasville does. Good Lord, it's the only real industry we have left to keep the town alive.
Are you my lawyer or theirs?
You know whose lawyer I am.
My friend or theirs?
That's a question which gets more and more difficult to answer. Jasper, it's Christmas. And Robert had good ideas for the mill.
I don't want to hear any more about the mill or about Robert, my son, or my daughter. Most of all, I don't want to hear about Christmas. That cheap, tawdry, pagan celebration. There, at last. The riots. They'll break up that no-good rabble. That's my Christmas present to them. Finally, the police have dispersed them. Cowards all. A mob has no courage.
Well, what are you going to do about the window?
Close the room off. Heaven knows there are enough other rooms for me to wander through alone since I've been deserted by my family.
Well, that's scarcely fair to Emily.
Emily? Did I once really have a wife? Was there some warmth in this house?
While my sister lived.
Well, she's dead. Too many years ago for me to want to count. There's no one left but my housekeeper and me. At least Mrs. Murchison hasn't deserted me, as you want to. Go then, Arthur, go. It's safe now. The papers are all signed.
Well, I won't execute these till after the holiday.
The day after Christmas.
The day after Christmas is Sunday, so I can't do anything till Monday.
Very well, but the execution is signed, sealed, and delivered. When I sell the mill, I'll be not a millionaire, but a multi-millionaire. Or do you mean that crowd of hicks the police just chased away? You think I'm frightened of them?
Oh, I didn't mean physically, and I didn't mean concerned either. I mean terrified for your immortal soul. Oh, don't trouble. I'll let myself out. Oh, Mrs. Murchison, if I don't see you again before the great day, Merry Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Daly.
Who was on the phone, Mrs. Murchison?
Oh, such good news for you, sir. It's little Mary herself.
What did she want?
Sure, she's still on the phone waiting to tell you herself.
I have no wish to talk to my daughter.
Ah, but when you hear her news...
What news?
She wanted to tell you herself.
If she's leaving that damn foreigner and coming home alone, I'll talk to her. Otherwise, go and hang up.
Without listening to what she has to say?
There's only one thing I want to hear from her. An apology.
Oh, you're not going to talk to Miss Mary?
No.
I wanted to save the news for her to give you. Oh, but now sure I have to say it myself. It's a baby she's going to have. She wanted you to know you're going to be a grandfather.
Oh, some penniless foreigner. No, thank you. You can tell Mrs. Blumenthal it won't work. She's still as completely cut out of my will as her brother. When you hang up the phone, you can bring me a cup of tea. I'll be in the library.
Oh, the good Lord favor me and put the words in my mouth. Mary, sweetheart, forgive me for being gone this long.
That's all right, Mert, honey. Is Dad there?
Well, my Vernon, to tell you the truth, he's after having a little bit of a light on, and...
Well, it's all right. I know what he's lying down on. Any reconciliation with me. I thought maybe the time of year and the baby... Did you tell him about the baby?
Well, I didn't want to. I wanted it to be your surprise, but...
Okay. Forget it. I get the whole picture. Maybe I knew before I tried again. Now I know it's hopeless. Merry Christmas to you, Merch, love, anyway. And a Happy New Year.
Oh, Mary, my darling. Oh, what's the use? How long can you fight? If he just wasn't so stubborn. If only Mr. Crown could forget himself and accept someone else into his heart.
Come in.
It's your tea, Mr. Crown.
Oh, thanks. Just put it on the table.
Yes, sir.
Well, was there something else?
Yes, Mr. Crown. This next Christmas would be my 25th that I've served your family.
Oh, in heaven's name, spare me the Christmas spirit. It's choking me.
Well, it's choking some of the rest of us, too, Mr. Crown. Everyone has a limit. You're not alone in that. I've just been talking to Mary, and I've lived through a long, difficult time in your family. I'm giving my notice.
Before dinner?
I honestly don't care if you ever eat again or live. I just have time to catch the next bus. I'll send someone else to clear out everything that's left of mine in this house. I want no part of it, or you, ever again.
A little while later, the front doorbell rang. With Mrs. Murchison gone, Jasper was tempted not to answer it. But when it rang again, some secret urgency drew him down the long corridor. On the walk, he winced. His elbow pained him, and the arthritis in his right leg jumped and sent shivers. Every ache and pain he had ever known seemed to assail him till the magic moment he opened the door and saw, standing on the stoop, her freckles burning bright in her snow-white face, her pigtails stiff in the icy wind, Jennifer. And even though he didn't realize it, magic was upon him.
Yes? Who are you?
Jennifer Swallow.
What are you doing on my doorstep?
If you please, Mr. Crown, I'm freezing to death.
Well, you came here of your own free will. What do you want?
I have a business proposition to put to you.
Not interested.
How do you know if you haven't heard it yet?
Don't be rude. You're talking to your elders.
Excuse me. I didn't mean to be rude. I'm just anxious.
Anxious about what?
My proposition. What I want to talk to you about.
All right, what is it?
I'm too cold to tell you here. My father says that no gentleman keeps a lady waiting.
You're no lady, you're just a child.
And you're no gentleman. You're a...
A what?
You're a kind man who's going to offer me shelter.
Very well, before we both freeze to death. Come in, come in.
Thank you. You shouldn't have let me in, you know.
But you what?
Get in. My father says you should never let a salesman get his foot in the door.
Are you a salesman?
Oh, no. It's just an expression, you see. In a manner of speaking, so to speak.
What is it you want, young woman, young lady?
My name's Jennifer.
Jennifer? I'm not interested in names. All I want to know is what your business is here.
Shouldn't we go into the parlor?
No.
You're kind of old. I thought you might want to sit down.
Well, maybe I'd better.
It would be much cozier.
Very well, then. Follow me.
Even though it is quite cold, it's very nice weather for this time of year.
What?
I'm just making conversation. My father says...
I don't believe it.
Believe what?
I don't believe your father ever gets a word in edgewise with you around. All right, it's warm in here in the library. There's a fire. You can sit over there on the other side of the fireplace.
Thank you. So many books.
Ah, a lot of knowledge in the world if you young folks would take time to pick up some of it. Now, Miss Jennifer, just what is it you want?
Well, it's at the church, you see. Nobody is working this year on account of you closed the factory down.
You blame me for that?
Oh, no. I mean, that's your business, of course. But it meant somebody had to do something special. About Christmas, I mean.
I might have known it. Sending a child here to blink her innocent eyes at me. Who put you up to this? Who sent you here to ask for money?
No one. I just want to...
Don't lie! For a moment, you almost fooled me, young lady. But I might have known there was something behind this. There is, isn't there?
Well...
What is it? Present for the church?
Oh, no. I already won those. From Win the Booty.
You what?
I said I already got those. From Win the Booty. You know.
No, I don't know. What is Win the Booty?
It's on television. Don't you watch it?
I don't have a television set.
Oh, it's fun. The man asks you questions, you see. And then you have to answer them.
And that's what you did?
Of course. Why are you so surprised?
I'm just amazed that you didn't ask him most of the questions. So you won some prizes, eh?
Oh, scrumptious ones. So you see, we don't need you for that.
You don't say. But what do you need me for?
Well, see, the presents are to be handed out tomorrow night at Christmas Eve. And we have no Santa Claus to do it. I wanted you for that.
Of course. Because I'm rich and you thought that I might bring some extra presents.
That wasn't it at all.
Somebody else had an idea you should come here and ask me?
No, sir. This was my own idea.
Really? Just what's the matter with the guy who knows all the answers?
Who?
Your all-wise father.
Oh, he isn't here this year.
What's keeping him so busy?
A first-class son of a gun.
A what?
His superior officer. My father's in the Navy. Both of them are.
Who?
My father and the first-class son of a gun. That isn't exactly what he called him, but I promise not to repeat the other.
I see. Well, if it can't be your father, what's the matter with your minister?
Nothing.
I mean as Santa Claus.
Oh, too skinny and too serious. He never understands a joke. He's really an old stick.
But what on earth would make you think of me, child? You don't just want me to be Santa Claus. You have an ulterior motive.
What's an ulterior motive?
You want me to do something else, don't you?
Oh, that, of course.
You admit it.
Oh, sure. We don't have a budget for the Santa Claus suit. So I thought if you'd be him, you could afford to rent it. Where are you going?
I'm opening the door for you to leave, Jezebel.
My name isn't Jezebel.
That's a matter of opinion. Just keep heading for the front door.
Then you won't be Santa Claus?
I'm afraid I'm not the type.
You could be just perfect if you'd let yourself go.
I wish I could believe that.
Oh, couldn't you?
Only one way I could.
Well, how's that?
You get me the Santa Claus suit, and if you still want me, I'll be your Santa Claus.
Honest to Pete?
Honest to Pete.
Well, I'll try, but it's gonna take a miracle if I do.
You know, I wouldn't put it past you.
Jasper Crown remained with his hand on the door. One part of him congratulating himself for having resisted that elfin charm. The child was just trying to use him and his wealth, as people always were, egged on by her elders, no doubt. But another part of him, lonely and forgotten and rusty with disuse, cried out for her return, for a miracle. I'll return shortly with Act Two.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. To touch the heights you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
In the free spirit department, Buick's mid-size 1976 Century has a lot going for it. Efficient size, lots of room, neat things like that. But Century offers bonuses. It's a Buick, remember, which says one heck of a lot about how nicely it takes care of you. And Century does something for the sake of practicality that no other American mid-size car does. It comes with a V6 engine, and a Buick V6 at that. Century, the spirit will move you.
First, the good news about the treatment of cancer. Through chemotherapy, which is the use of anti-cancer drugs to lessen pain and lengthen life for many, great progress has been made. Through chemotherapy, a child with leukemia, a woman with breast cancer, a senior citizen with a tumor, can bring a normal balance to their daily lives. Now the bad news. More research is desperately needed to find newer, even more effective anti-cancer drugs, and more programs to bring those treatments to everyone who needs help. You can be part of that research. You can be part of that help. Send a check today to the Chemotherapy Foundation. That's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. This is Bess Meyerson with a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
Never underestimate the power of Jennifer. That night, Jennifer broke open her piggy bank and counted her capital, $2.23. The following morning, she bought a return trip ticket on the bus to Dawson City, which cut into her budget to the tune of $1.62. Once she got there, she set her jaw and started to comb the city. It was well after lunch when suddenly the freckles were dancing across her nose and her pigtails vibrating with delight. For there, just as she told herself there had to be, was a sign saying, Santa Claus suits for rent, dirt cheap. The proprietor was a wonderful man with a jolly round face and bristling white eyebrows and a shock of snowy white hair. As Jenny said afterwards, she almost wished he might be persuaded to come and play Santa Claus.
But that's really a silly idea. He lives too far away.
I beg your pardon, miss.
Did I say something?
Well, there are only two of us here, and I didn't say anything, so I think it must have been you.
There I go again, thinking out loud. You couldn't, could you? Or didn't I think that part out loud?
What part?
About wanting you to come and be Santa Claus in Thomasville at our church tomorrow evening.
Oh, I'm afraid I couldn't. Some other people are expecting me. But I can rent you a suit, you know, a Santa Claus suit. Do you see one that you like?
Well, there are so many. What's this one made of?
Ah, red velvet with ermine trim. You like it?
It is nice. How much would it cost to rent it?
Well, now, that's a very handsome suit and quite cheap at the normal rental of $100.
$100?
Too much?
Oh, much too much.
Well, now, how much were you thinking of?
$0.61.
$0.61, eh? Now, isn't that a coincidence? As a matter of fact, right down beneath the counter here, I may have just the thing. Ah, yes, here we are. Now, let's see. Boots, belt, hat, pants, and a tunic. And, of course, the whiskers to go with it. And the price happens to be just right. On the nose, as the saying goes. 61 cents.
It is pretty old and tattered.
Yes, it is. Seen a lot of use. I have to admit it isn't in the best of repair. But it's the genuine thing.
Well, it is pretty ratty. But I'll take it. After all, the price is right. And the kids who are going to see it won't notice the condition. Because to tell you the truth, these days our clothes are pretty ratty, too.
Well, righty-o. I'll wrap it all up. And while I'm getting it ready, you can sign your name right here.
What's that for?
Well, I'd like to get this suit back. You might be surprised, but sometimes I have a little trouble. This way, if you shouldn't return it, any time I want to claim it, I'll have proof that it's mine.
Oh, now why doesn't Mrs. Murchison answer that bell? Oh, of course, I forgot. She's gone. Oh, rotten, tarnation. I have to answer it myself, I suppose. I'm coming, damn it, I'm coming. Oh. Well, you don't have to pull it out of its socket.
Please, it's so cold. I'm freezing.
Oh, it's you again, is it? Well, what is it this time?
Look, I got it. I got it.
Got what?
The Santa Claus suit. I thought you'd be happy.
Why should I be happy?
Because you said. You promised. You're not going to welsh out. Aren't you even going to invite me in?
So you tricked me into a promise I should never have given.
I didn't either trick you.
Oh, no? We'll see. Well, what are you standing out there for, child? Want us both to freeze to death in this drafty hall? Go on to the living room. I've had the window fixed.
Yes, sir, Mr. Crown.
Well, in you go. There's a fire here, and it's warmer.
It certainly is that. Thank you.
So you got the suit, huh?
Yes, sir.
How?
That's my business.
Didn't take you long to maneuver it once you found out I wouldn't fork out for it, huh?
That's right, Mr. Crown.
Well, sit down.
Thank you.
That all?
Excuse me?
I mean, can't catch your tongue, huh? You certainly had enough to say yesterday. Why so silent now?
I'm disappointed.
Why?
Because you're not happy, too. About the suit, I mean.
Why should I be?
I don't know, Mr. Crown. But I was just sure you would be.
Well, you're wrong. I'm not. I made a bargain, and I'll stick to it.
You don't have to, if you don't want to. I won't hold you to it. I mean, an unhappy Santa Claus wouldn't be much good. Do you want to?
Want to what? Be unhappy?
No, to get out of it.
I don't even know if I can get into it yet. Close your mouth. You look silly with it open. Oh, come on. The suit. Come on, let's see it.
I can't open it. It is a very difficult knot.
Oh, give me that stupid parcel. Stop fiddling. Can't spend all night on this. Oh! Good Lord, in what ragtag did you find this flea-bitten outfit, huh?
I didn't either find it. I rented it.
Rented it? And just what did you pay for this threadbare collection of junk?
It cost 61 cents.
How much?
More, when you count my bus fare from here to Dawson City. $1.62 plus 61 cents. $2.23. My whole capital.
And just where did you get $2.23?
It was my tree money for Christmas, but I'd rather have a Santa Claus than a tree. So I broke my piggy bank and I hate you.
Oh, stop it. Oh, stop. All right, I'll be your Santa Claus. Oh, I'll even try the suit on now if you like. Oh, if you still want me, that is. I'll be a pretty grump Santa Claus, but... Oh, shall I try the damn thing on?
Yes, please. After all, I spent the money. And something is better than nothing, isn't it?
Honesty, Jasper. The startling white honesty of a child. It's what you've been looking for, grasping for. Something to believe in again. And yet, too late. Too late. You're so conscious of the age in your body, the bile in your gut, your loneliness. That rheumatic elbow, that gnawing peptic ulcer, the tight place around your heart. Or is what you fear most, your mean and tiny soul.
And while Jasper thought these private thoughts, he was slowly putting on the Santa Claus suit, shaking his head at each tattered garment and worn accessory that went with it. But as he put each piece on, watching through Jenny's eyes, each separate piece seemed to shine suddenly as luxuriously rich and sumptuous as the velvet and ermine suit she had first seen. And the whiskers were pure white and thick and curly. And the boots were like the most expensive Moroccan leather. But the biggest miracle of all was in Jasper. Gone was the constriction from the heart. The nagging ache was no longer dragging at his stomach. The rheumatic arm was loose as a whip, and a magic sponge had wiped the lines from his face and the meanness from his heart.
Oh, super! Gloriosa! It fits! It fits!
Like a glove.
You look so different.
I feel so different. Do I look like Santa Claus?
Not look. You are. You are Santa. It's just perfect, only...
Only what?
Do you think you could, you know, just a little, even smile?
Not only could I smile, I even think I could laugh again.
Oh, try, Mr. Crown, try.
You could call me Jasper, Jennifer.
And you can call me Jenny Jasper.
Hello, Jenny Jasper.
Oh, Jasper, this is going to be a good Christmas.
Oh, Jenny, this is going to be the best Christmas ever.
Now, Mrs. Templeton, now do you think?
Yes. I was just coming to tell you, my dear child, that my husband said we are just about to commence. Mr. Crown's all dressed and ready.
The Reverend isn't teed off, is he?
Teed off?
I mean, his feathers aren't ruffled.
The Reverend is a saint, my dear. A perfect saint. Why on earth should he be angry?
Well, Grandmother said he always played Santa Claus. And if someone else wanted to be it, he'd be mad as a wet hen. And I said, why is a wet hen mad? And she said, because its feathers get ruffled.
Your grandmother, I should say your family in general, Jenny, doesn't quite understand a man of God. The minister, my beloved George, is only too happy to welcome back a sinner and a backslider like Mr. Crown. He would sacrifice any of his little pleasures for that. Which reminds me.
Yes, ma'am?
For some reason or other, Mr. Crown says he has to see you before he comes in.
Oh, dear, I hope nothing's gone wrong. Because if Jasper's feathers are ruffled, this whole party could lay an egg.
I thought we'd never get rid of that old stork.
I told you he was an old stick.
In the mud. Now, what I needed you for was to know if I look all right.
Come over to the chair. He has the wig all wrong and the hat not down over your nose, not sort of jaunty to one side. And he didn't put the rouge on your cheeks like this. Oh, and now you really look like something. Oh, Jasper, you look just beautiful.
And so do you, Jenny.
Oh, I don't matter. You're the star of this show. Now you go out there and twinkle.
Watch my stardust. Just call me Jasper, Jenny, and everything's all right.
And you just call me Jenny Jasper, and I know it's going to be. Here he comes, everybody, all the way from the North Pole.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas.
So there it is. We have all been witness to the regeneration of Jasper Crown. A child's drive and belief has brought him back to the precious gift of present youth and laughter. But is it a true conversion or only a momentary aberration? Is the magic of this moment in the Christmas legend, in the suit, and in Jenny? What happens if he loses either or both? I'll be back shortly with Act 3.
You can have great taste, lots of great taste and taste with Ludens. They're medicated cough drops with great taste in every box. Wild cherry, sweet and savory, menthol cool and flavory. Honey, the way you wish, with lemon or licorice. All you can have great taste, lots of great taste and taste with Ludens.
Ludens, the medicated cough drops that don't taste medicated. They taste great. Use only as directed.
I tied strings around my finger, written notes to myself. This is Dennis Weaver, and I guess I've tried them all. And every once in a while, I find that I've forgotten in spite of all the reminders. I hope that doesn't happen to your Christmas seal letter. You see, the things Christmas seals do for us must go on all year round. That's the fight against such lung diseases as emphysema, asthma, and tuberculosis. Please give more to Christmas seals.
Your Lung Association says it's a matter of life and breath.
Who will cope with tomorrow for a brighter new day? There's one hope for tomorrow, the children of today.
There is only one hope for tomorrow, the children. Yet there are children in this world right now who have no hope for a brighter today. They're hungry, illiterate, living in misery, and when they grow up, if they grow up, they'll pass on this hopelessness. And it's the world's loss and the world's shame. You can help children to grow up with healthy bodies and educated minds, with a zest for life that they'll pass on to their children and to our world. Won't you please send a check to Save the Children Federation, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York, 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York, 10017. Think about tomorrow.
We've got to save the children and save the world. Help them to grow.
The church party was an exceptionally long one that year. And before it was over, Jasper Crown had indeed become Santa's alter ego. Many other gifts beyond those Jenny collected on Win the Booty were distributed. All of them from Jasper's generous purse. $50,000 to the church itself. Another $50,000 to the community chest. And many smaller but not less welcome gifts. Then, with the party over, Jasper, after a long last hug with Jenny before she went home, returned to his own house. But however cold the empty old mansion might seem, Jasper, in his suit of red, was warm and glowing inside. And his first trip was to the telephone.
Christmas greetings, hello.
Happy Christmas, my darling daughter. Yes, Mary. You're a miserable, old, wretched, stupid...
I can't believe it. I mean, you don't... Well, you never were stupid. And you certainly don't sound miserable, old, or wretched.
Well, I'm none of those, but I was stupid. How can I make up for it to you and Leon?
Make up? Oh, Daddy. I wish you could be with us for Christmas.
It's a little late for that, but... I have another idea. I want to buy plane tickets for you and Leon to come visit me and ring in the new year with me.
Oh, Daddy.
A real good new year. I just called Robert, and he and his wife are coming home with the children. He's going to start up the mill again for me. It could be a real family reunion.
Daddy, I don't know what to say.
Oh, say yes. Please, just say yes.
Of course it's yes. Yes, yes, yes. Daddy, what happened? You sound, well, not only like yourself again, but like, well, I don't know. Like the spirit of Christmas. Past and present.
And future. You'll see, I hope, when you come home. Mrs. Murchison, come in, come in.
God and his angels be with me. I thought, Mr. Crown, for a moment you were the real article.
Oh, I can't claim that. I wish I could.
Oh.
But I feel as cheerful as him. What brings you here Christmas morning?
Well, now, sir, I felt real bad. Particularly this time of year and our walking out on you. And here is Christmas Day and you even without a dinner. So I was after bringing a little basket here, if you'd accept it.
I accept it from the heart and with my thanks. But I'd like to ask you something in return.
What is that?
Will you come back to work for me, Murch? I need you.
Oh, you called me Murch. Mary's name.
She's coming home with her husband and her child-to-be for New Year's. And Robert and his family.
Oh.
They're moving back to open up the mill. I'll need you, Murch.
Ah, the blessed Mary preserve us, so you will. And glad I'll be to come home.
Good.
But what is it that's come over you, Mr. Crown?
A child brought me this suit, Murch. And putting it on, I went back to the man I was. I don't want to question either because I believe them both to be a miracle. And I thank God to have found happiness and peace again. And pray to him it will not be taken away from me.
But every silver lining has a cloud. Every sky a rift. The worm nestles even in the heart of a rose. Jasper could not buy his happiness this fast, if ever, again. As she has been his angel, Jenny now becomes his nemesis.
Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning, Jasper. I didn't expect...
Me to answer the door? Well, I saw you coming up the walk.
I didn't mean that. I meant, I didn't expect to see... I hate to say it, but I've come for the Santa Claus suit.
No. What do you want it for?
You'll have to take it off now, Jasper.
Why?
Because I signed the paper. I only rented it, and I'm responsible. I have to take it back. To see you out of the Santa Claus suit again, Jasper.
Oh, Jenny, I feel naked. It's the way I told you.
But that's silly. You aren't the way you were at all. You're nice now. The way I always knew you were underneath.
As long as I have the suit.
As long as you have you. That's what counts. My father says, oh, wait a minute. Tell the chauffeur. Here's the street. I was sure it was this one. Try the next. You watch one side, and I'll watch the other.
You're not watching, Jenny.
That's because I've already looked all the way down. It must be the next block. Why are you looking so sad again, Jasper?
Because I feel that way. Not even sad. Frightened, Jenny.
Why?
I like the way I am. I didn't like the way I was. And I'm afraid that if I let go of the suit, I'll go back to being what I was.
Never. Anyway, when we get to the shop, you can always buy it. Oh, tell the chauffeur to turn here, to the right.
Take the next right, Edwards. You sure this is it?
Yes, I know. Because there's the hat factory, and the cigar store, and the man who cooks spaghetti in the window of his shop. And right there next to it,
What? What, Jenny?
Mr. Edwards, stop and back up. See, Jasper, it's a dead-end street anyway. And there's that big school, and the storage company, and then the Chinese laundry. And right here between it and the man who cooks spaghetti in the window is... was...
Stop the car, Edwards. But, Jenny, there's nothing here but an empty lot.
But there can't be, because otherwise, then it would have to be a miracle.
Yes, that's what it would have to be.
But that's impossible.
Why?
Because miracles have to be about holy things, and they have to be very old.
Well, what's holier than Christmas? And it's pretty old.
I must have made a mistake. We'll just have to keep...
Little Jenny, listen to me. This is a funny thing to ask, but I ask it with all my heart. Don't let's go looking anymore, because we just might find him, and that's the thing I'm most afraid of.
Why?
Because then I'd have to give the suit back, and I might stop believing again.
Oh, is that the time? The right time?
Yes, what's wrong?
I've got to get back to Grandma's fast. I'm catching a plane today.
Edwards, Holmes, step on it. A plane? Where to?
The Pacific. Japan. Back to my father. He's so lonely. I'm all he has. But Grandmother was getting old, and we were both going to spend Christmas with her. Only that first-class son of a... I almost said it. Anyway, the Admiral said he couldn't spare my father because of the general situation. Oh, what am I going to do?
About your father?
No, about the suit.
Jenny, why don't you let me handle this? I'm here, and your father and you are going to be on the other side of the world.
How could you handle it?
Well, let me tell you, and we'll write it down as soon as we get home. Now, here's the advertisement, Jenny. I'll read it. If the owner of the Santa Claus suit rented to Jennifer Swallow will present his copy of the receipt to me, Jasper Crown, my address, phone number, and so on, he will be remunerated to whatever degree he deems fair and equitable, up to, but not to exceed, the sum of $1 million. This ad will appear daily till the first of the new year, and for the month of December of each succeeding year until the decease of the aforementioned Jasper Crown. Okay?
But Jasper, $1 million for that cruddy old suit?
I told you, it's worth that to me. Do you have to go, Jenny?
You shouldn't have to ask. You know how fathers feel about daughters.
Now I do.
Your own daughter is coming back to be with you. And your son, too. You'll never miss me.
Oh, I will that. Don't ever mistake it. But I'm finally realizing all this fuss about a suit I thought was a key that unlocked my heart, when it wasn't the suit at all. It was you.
I hate goodbyes. They're always sad. Why can't they be laughing goodbyes? Couldn't you laugh? Just a little?
You said that to me once before, remember?
And you laughed.
I don't think anything could make me laugh now.
I bet I could. Try it, Mr. Crown.
Try what?
That's not what you're supposed to say.
What am I supposed to say?
You're supposed to say, you can call me...
Jasper, Jenny.
And you can call me Jenny Jasper.
Hello, Jenny Jasper.
Hello, Jasper, Jenny. Oh, Jasper, it's been such a good Christmas.
The best ever.
Jenny left as she had to, and Jasper placed the ad in the paper. For 10 years, it appeared every December, as Jasper lived out a full and happy life, his family, grandchildren, and his mill workers filling every Christmas for him. Until early this December, when he died, peacefully and quietly in his sleep, grateful and joyful to go join his beloved wife.
Hello, Mr. Crown.
last 10 years.
I've felt at peace with myself. The suit is in that rosewood box on my bureau. And here is a blank check signed. Fill in what you want.
Oh, no. This is paid in full. I've more than had my rental. But I will take the suit back because it is Christmas again. And who knows? It may be very useful to someone else, eh? Now, excuse me. It's a busy season. For me. Now, Dasher. Now, Dancer. Now, Prancer and Vixen.
Did you hear him, Jasper?
I did. It's been most of it. Such a good life. And the best of it, you made. But I'm tired, Jenny. So tired. Say goodnight to me.
Goodnight, Jasper. I wish I could wish you Merry Christmas.
No, that's my little gift to you. Have as many and more as you brought me.
I love you, Jasper.
That's what Christmas is all about.
Good night, my extra special Santa.
Event or effect contrary to the established order of things. A wonder or a wonderful thing. Webster's definition of a miracle. I'll be back shortly.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. Throughout time, God has spoken to man in dreams. Jehovah said in the Old Testament, "Listen to my words. If a man be a prophet, I make myself known to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams." So pay attention to your own dreams. They might well reveal flashes of the future, predictions and warnings of things to come. They may give you a glimpse of God's guidance to lead you back to the peace and security of His way. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
For this special night of the year, there remains nothing to say in closing but God rest you, merry gentlemen and ladies, and a merry, merry Christmas to all. Our cast included Howard Da Silva, Jennifer Marlowe, Virginia Payne, E.V. Jester, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Sorry I can't embrace you, but my arms seem to be strapped tightly to my sides.
Doctor, order your attendants to release him.
Mrs. Layton.
Release him.
Unstrap him, Fred.
That's better. Much better.
Now, may I ask you all to leave so I can be alone with my husband?
Yes, of course, Mrs. Latham. Goodbye, Van. Come in.
Well, Van, aren't you happy to be home?
Oh, yes, Mary. Very happy. Very happy.
No, Van, no. Stay away!
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant
dreams.
This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. The natural gas shortage, says the government, is less threatening. I'm Eric Engberg reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Federal energy officials had feared that this winter would bring dangerous shortages of natural gas in this country. But now they say the outlook is much better. One reason, according to John Hill, Deputy Administrator of the Energy Administration, an unseasonably mild winter in most places.
Whenever you're doing predictions like this, particularly when it relates to something as unknown as the weather, you always run the risk of being too high or too low. I'm just glad that our estimates this summer were too high, because the fact that the shortage is less means that the economic impact, the job losses resulting from the gas shortage, have been minimized.
Even though the general outlook for natural gas is much improved, energy officials say there could still be shortages in some states, which might force industries to slow down or even shut down. More CBS News after this.
You may feel it's an embarrassing subject, but since one out of every three people suffers hemorrhoid symptoms at some time, you should know about Preparation H. Preparation H gives prompt, temporary relief from occasional pain and itch in many cases. But Preparation H does more. Actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. With so many having the problem, it's comforting to know that Preparation H helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues. Ointment or suppositories. Use only as directed.
The Bulldogs of Georgia meet the Razorbacks of Arkansas in the Cotton Bowl New Year's Day. So why don't you meet us at the 50-yard line over most of these CBS Radio Network stations for full, live, exclusive radio coverage of the game. I'm Connie Alexander. Tom Hedrick and I will bring you all the play-by-play and color excitement of this New Year's Day classic, the Cotton Bowl. Enjoy it wherever you are. New Year's Day, right here on most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
President Ford, according to his press secretary, does not plan much in the way of personal campaigning in the New Hampshire or Florida primary elections. New Hampshire's is the first of the election year and comes late in February. Florida's is the first one in the South. Ronald Reagan is already running hard against the president in both states, but Mr. Ford's press secretary, Ron Nesson, says Mr. Ford plans to meet the challenge more from the White House than from the hustings. At present, Nesson says the president plans only one trip to New Hampshire and one to Florida. The president's Christmas consisted of skiing the slopes of Vail, Colorado, turkey dinner with his wife and four children, opening presents, which turned out to be mostly sweaters. Sometime Friday, the Russians hoped to inaugurate regular service by their supersonic transport plane, the Tu-144. A Christmas Day flight was canceled because of heavy air traffic. Only mail and freight is being carried on the first regular flight from Moscow to Soviet Central Asia. Passenger service not due to start until late 1976. Now, a fifth American living in Ethiopia has been kidnapped, apparently by Eritrean guerrillas seeking secession for their province. Four other U.S. citizens have been taken prisoner in Ethiopia since July. The State Department says they are being well treated, but won't say whether any ransom demands have been made. The latest victim, Ronald Michalki of Mabel, Minnesota, is a communications worker at a U.S. Navy facility in Ethiopia. Yet another assertion by the Soviet Union that it intends to keep backing one side in the Angolan Civil War, regardless of statements by Henry Kissinger that such involvement jeopardizes detente. The government newspaper Izvestia said that threats from what are called leading personalities in the United States would not deter the Soviets from continuing to help Angolan Marxists. Eight persons died Christmas Day in Lebanon's factional strife. Friday is the 82nd birthday of Mao Zedong, chairman of the Communist Party in the People's Republic of China. As usual, the birthday will pass without official ceremony. A fire destroyed two sound stages at the Samuel Goldwyn Film Studios in West Hollywood. Firemen were able to keep the flames from spreading to other nearby lots, including lots once owned by Mary Pickford and Charles Chaplin. More than 2,000 spectators lined both sides of the Delaware River Thursday to watch the reenactment of George Washington's Christmas crossing 199 years ago. More after this.
Camp Martin, Little League coach. How do you spell relief?
When I get acid indigestion, I spell relief R-O-L-A-I-D-S, Rolaids.
Missy Smith, switchboard operator.
For gas, I spell relief R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Rolaids spells relief. Each Rolaids consumes 47 times its weight in excess stomach acid. Captain Allen, helicopter pilot. How do you spell relief?
For heartburn, R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Rolaids spells relief. Use only as directed.
You can have great taste, lots of great taste and taste with Ludens. They're medicated cough drops with great taste in every box. Wild cherry, sweet and savory, menthol cool and flavory. Honey, the way you wish, with lemon or licorice. All you can have great taste, lots of great taste and taste with Ludens.
Ludens, the medicated cough drops that don't taste medicated. They taste great. Use only as directed.
4 million American workers will get an automatic pay raise on New Year's Day. Under the new federal minimum wage law, the minimum salary in this country will go from $2.10 an hour to $2.30 an hour in most job classifications. I'm Eric Engberg, CBS News.